Father God, we come before your presence, a holy God. And Father God, I thank you so much, oh God, that we do not come before you as mere men, but as tabernacles, temples made by you in the miracle of Jesus Christ, born in a sheep pen, dying on a cross, that same risen Jesus in these temples today. God, we praise you for the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you, God. I thank you, God. I praise you that Christ came into this lost sinner and he's made me a new creation in Christ. And in me, God, today is a hunger that your kingdom would come in every heart here, that you, God, would come into every single individual. Those that were raised up against you as they came in here, God, may you bring them to their knees, and may they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those that are hurting and those that don't feel your love and know they need Jesus, God, I pray that the humble would meet Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that it be hot to your humble, whether they intended to or not, that today they would meet Jesus Christ as their Lord. God, we pray that your presence and your power would invade this place. And God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would also tear down any high thing that the enemy's trying to build in this place. There'd be no place for his lies here, but that you would prevail. And we give you the praise and the glory because you, God, are amazing. And we praise you, God, for who you are. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, amen, amen, amen. Titled this message today, The Christmas Spirit. Almost didn't do it because, there's a lot of energy about Christmas, and a lot of people are so antagonistic. I get it. My background was such that, bah humbug might have been the better term than any kind of joy, and I've grown to just love Christmas. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful thing to celebrate. I have this twisted sense of humor. This morning I'm walking around. Do you know why I know that the wise men were old? It dawned on me when someone came up to me today and said, I like your tie. And I looked down and thought, it's a nice star. And then I realized there's wise men over the hill. Huh. Some of you will get that later. You're like, oh, I said the wise men are over the hill. I get it. Yeah, okay, you get it sometimes. It's the joy of getting older. Yeah. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? I should probably get there too. Even as we go here, we're going to be in 9 and 10, but as we go here, I want to start with just, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Wow. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, man, I wrote this down early this week, and I thought, oh, God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And, you know, remember what we looked at last week in Isaiah 61. He talked about how Jesus was proclaiming that he was anointed by God to preach the glad tidings and the good news, and we went on last week to look at the fact that that anointing is also ours. And wow, I just have this huge sense this morning of how important it is for the Word of God to speak. And I always come before you in weakness. I was sharing with somebody this last week again, I don't know why, but the circumstances, I was just telling them, you know, I was raised in the woods, people still scare me. But what scares me even more is the responsibility to open the Word of God and to have the Spirit of God speak in power and truth to our hearts has to come in me first. And the miracle of Christ in me speaking to me, speaking through me and this vessel to you is so vital. We are not here today to hear words of men. I'm not here to preach words. I would not be here today. But I am praying, Word of God, speak. Because this message about the Christmas spirit, about the Spirit of God and the energy of God, about what he wants to give to all of us is so real. And without it, we have no hope, no energy, and no power. So my heart trembles as I open the word. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me today that not only would I have the power to speak his word, would I get out of the way and he would move in power through this vessel, through the weakness of who I am, that he would be glorified, but that we would have ears to hear and he would be glorified in our midst. Would you join me in praying? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, speak, Lord. You spoke and the heavens came into being. You spoke and all that we have and all that we are, we exist by the power and the presence of your word. And oh God, we need your word here today. And Father God, we thank you that you are faithful to bring your word. Give us ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would speak the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ to us. That your spirit would move in us. God, that you would wake up in us the truth and we would know your energy, we would know your love, we'd know your power today, that the glorious gospel of the kingdom of God would be in our midst and Jesus, you would be glorified. And we thank you, Father, in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. To proclaim the good news and the glad tidings of the gospel to celebrate Christmas. You know, you hear a lot of things this time of the year. You know, that's what Christmas is all about. Or that's the Christmas spirit right there. That's the Christmas spirit. And you know what? I was kind of trained in my early Christian years to just kind of, everything about Christmas is evil. Even the idea that maybe the name itself is from a pagan ritual. How many of you look forward to Christmas? Raise your hand, will you? You can do it right here, okay? By the way, I do too, but maybe I'm just this old, but it's been really a long time since I looked forward to Christmas because I knew I was going to get something. I just don't. Oh, but I look forward to Christmas because I'm going to what? Give something. Which right now, for a guy, I'm pretty typical. I'm looking forward to it, but I don't have any presents yet. There's this fear factor that comes in. Like, I start asking people, hey, what can I get for, any guys relate to that? I tell you how afraid we are. We're probably going to go out at least by the 23rd and start looking. That's pretty scary. But it's what I give. That's why I'm looking forward to it. And is that not what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? When I was a child, I acted like a child, which means what? Give me, give me, give me. But when I became a man, I put off childish things. And that's in the love chapter because the very essence of love, the very essence of love, the very core of it is God so loved the world that he got all he could get from us. Is that what he says? No. God so loved the world that he gave. This is a core of love. The Christmas spirit, I want to tell you, is the joy of God in giving you his son. And there's so much energy there. There's so much energy. And it's interesting, by the way, I did a little research on the name Christmas. I hesitate to even go there because, you know, there's all these different things. They'll tell you whatever you want. But, you know, it comes from Christ, or another word for Christ is Messiah. And then the mass part, or Christmas part, is it comes from the Latin word. And, you know, it's the Latin word missa. And let me just read this to you. There are three different options or three different ways in which historically this word is used. Something that has been sent is the most common use of the word. So Christmas or miss is something that has been sent, the Messiah sent. The second most common use of the word is a phrase at the end of the Latin Mass, which is concluded with the words, I can't say this right, iti missa est. Didn't say it right, I'm sure. But it means you are dismissed. The third most common, use of this word is the Hebrew word missa, which means unleavened bread. I like the first and the third, and you're not dismissed yet, so we're not going to go with the second. But the energy of God, Christmas, Messiah given. It's the energy of God. What is the Christmas spirit? It's the energy of God. He's so excited to give to you his beloved son. I'm going to look at it today, and I want to focus on a particular part of that. It's the energy of love. And so, and this is where it gets difficult. As a matter of fact, it gets impossible. Read verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor ever entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And I want to encourage you today that the Christmas Spirit of God, that which has the highest energy for us today, and some of you may disagree with this, but I think the highest energy that God has for you today is not Christmas past, which was Christ crucified, and there is energy from God in that, amen? Christ crucified is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. He wants to reveal Christ crucified. There is an energy of God. He loved the world so much that he gave his son, his only beloved, on a tree for you. And he wants everybody to know that. There's an energy there. And the second gift of Jesus Christ is not Christ crucified. There's another gift. You realize that? It's Christ what? Hint, where? In us. Do you realize that's a separate gift? Emmanuel is a gift. That's Christ on earth, born in a sheep pen. But Christ in you is a second gift. When I surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, where does he come? Is that not an amazing gift of God? It is crazy amazing. It's called the great mystery. And he talks about the living miracle of Christ in us. That's amazing. How many of you live in the miracle that every day and say, God, thank you for Jesus in me? Amen. Isn't that cool? But I want to tell you, there's a Christmas spirit that's an energy level in God right now because he is preparing something for you that eye has not seen nor ear heard nor have ever entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. There is a Christmas future. There is a gifting of Jesus Christ to us that is yet to come. And God is so excited about it. How do we know it's going to be awesome? Because of Christ given in the past and today. That's a foretaste. That's telling you he's demonstrated you that kind of love, and he's so excited about what's coming. And why do I know there's a lot of energy there? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 5. And all three gifts of Christmas that I just mentioned, the gift of the Messiah given, are mentioned in this passage. And I want to tell you that this last one is so infused with energy. We have this word hope, and it's a living thing. There's an energy to it, and it's all about what's coming. Romans chapter 5. Oh, we glory in tribulations, verse 3. Why are we so excited about troubles? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character what? Hope. Okay, so hope is the energy of the gift that's coming. And that hope does not disappoint. That Christmas morning is not going to disappoint you, because the love which has been poured out in our hearts, that's Christmas today, right? Christ in us today, by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Who's in us? The Holy Spirit. Who is that? Jesus. So that's Christmas today. And then he backs up a little further. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. What's that? Christmas what? Past. So all three Christmases are right here. Christmas past, in that he died for us, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates on the cross his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember that. God loves you so much, he crucified his own son for you. He loves you so much that his Holy Spirit, he sent his son to dwell in you, and the love of Christ dwells in you. Amen? And because of that, when I go through hard things, it births something in me, and that energy that comes from God is seen in the word hope. You know, it's personified in little kids. You ever see children, 3-4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, on Christmas morning, what are they filled with? Oh, man, they have so much anticipation, right? Their eyes are lit up, and what are they waiting to do? Carefully unwrap the presents, one little piece of tape at a time, and fold up all the paper so Grandma can reuse it again and save all the bows, which she puts in boxes and stores in my house forever, and I don't have room for anything else because she won't throw anything away. I was just throwing in a little pet peeve right there. But anyway, so what do kids do? They're ripping, they're tearing. Why? Because they want to get to the present. Do you realize that the revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole book of Revelation is not the revelation of what you got coming. It is the apocalypto, the unveiling, the tearing of the veil, and the revelation of the gift of Jesus Christ. It's coming. I want to ask you, do you have that Christmas morning hope waiting to go, I want to see what's coming? Because that's the energy of God. He loves you so much. He demonstrated his love. He demonstrated his love today in coming into you. I'm telling you, we need to be humble about that. Amen? How many of us deserve to have the miracle of Christ in us? No. He demonstrated his love. He demonstrated his intense investment in you. And he has demonstrated that so you can get really excited about what he's preparing for you. Amen? It's coming. The Messiah given on the cross, the Messiah given today, is just a foretaste of what's coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this phrase, you don't need to turn there, but it says that he is the unspeakable gift. I want you to have that in your mind, the unspeakable gift, because what's coming, the excitement of it, has to come from a very strange place today. 9:14 says this, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable, another translation is unspeakable, gift. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The unspeakable gift. Where do you get this joyful expectation? Where do you get this energy that just infuses you? You walk up, someone says, how you doing? And last week we looked at, what are you supposed to say? How you doing? You're supposed to say what? Beautiful, because he's given me this, what? Beauty for what? Ashes. If I'm going to preach the good news, I have to actually be somebody who's feeling it, who has some joy in it. So I've been testing people all week. How you doing? And usually they mumble something else, and then I'll say, how you doing? The second time around, they go, oh, yeah, my homework assignment. And they'll usually do this. Willful. It's not convincing. You should be going, I am one beautiful dude, or dudess, whatever you are, because you are beautiful in Christ. You need to let your heart, you need to let yourself receive that. And I'm telling you, right now, this 1 Corinthians chapter 2 thing, I need to get there. There's a problem with preaching this, a big problem. I was like, Lord, I don't know. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. There's never been words uttered in all human languages, all over the world, it's never been voiced. There's never been language that could voice your next Christmas. There's never been a word given to it that's right. So when you read a book that says, oh, this is what heaven's going to be, you got to remember, eye is not heard. Eye is not seeing, excuse me, or ear heard, or ever enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. Ever. So if someone has a dream and they say, well, this is what it's going to be like. Dude, God has given a few people windows over time, and we have some of those biblical snapshots, but they're all a little weird, you know what I mean? And they're weird for a reason, because no one has ever heard. No one has ever seen, and no one has ever dreamed. So how can I preach that which cannot be spoken? I mean, if I suddenly start speaking a language that I don't understand because it's never been voiced in this world, I'm not going to understand it. And then I thought, as I was thinking about this earlier this week, well, I'm not going to understand it, and then they won't understand it. Oh, that'd be like a normal Sunday. So anyway, that didn't help me, by the way. But the next verse does. But God has revealed him to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things to God. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. There are no words for me to give you about what God has coming. But his Spirit, deep, calls to deep. And his Spirit, the Christmas, the Messiah given Spirit of God. When you get close to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, when you get close, when the Spirit of God fills you, there's an energy that words cannot express, because you have something coming. You have something coming that this world has no part, that you have never seen, you've never experienced, you can't give words to, but you know it's going to be so great. I can't wait till that veil is torn and I get to see Jesus for who he really is for the first time. I have never seen him like this, and though I hear his word, I have never heard him like this. I have never dreamed of him like this, but it's coming, and he is preparing it for you, the gift of Jesus Christ. And why do I call it the gift of Jesus Christ? I think people get hung up on wrong things. Let me just give you an idea. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you," right? And in my Father's house are many, yeah, right? So, a lot of people get hung up on that, and they go, well, you know what he's building is this really high condo, high-rise thing, and everybody's going to have their own apartment, and he's going to build it just for me. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor ever entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you. When he is building, I'm telling you, he is building something that you cannot imagine. So is heaven just one great big high-rise with lots of rooms? I don't think so. I would not think of that as heaven, by the way. I think of people living in all those high-rises and cities all over the world. I think, those poor people. I don't want to spend heaven doing that. But Jesus also told his disciples, behold, I'm going to go what? I'm going to go build what? My church. And he said that we are the tabernacles of God. Amen? But he also said that he's building another temple. He's joining these living stones and this body of Christ to another body of Christ. Let's go there. It's in Revelation chapter 21. He is building something that is way beyond anything of this world. And we get this little hint in the Revelation, the book of the unveiling, that, oh baby, he's preparing a place for us. Revelation, I skipped a whole bunch of my notes here, so now I got to catch up. Not that I usually stick to my notes, but I do want to know where I'm going to get a hang on here. Okay, Revelation chapter 21. Wow. Then I, John, verse 2, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What's it say? Prepared. He's going to prepare. What's he building? He's building the body of Christ. He's building his bride. He's building the dwelling place of God. And it goes on to say that. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So what's next? The dwelling place of God. Another question you might ask, and it's appropriate, is who's next? What's the Sunday school answer? Who's next? Who's next? Oh, people, what's he going to do? He's going to build this tabernacle that is the bride of Christ, but go on. Verse 9, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the whole Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And so who are we talking about here? The bride of Christ. And her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Let's skip down below here, okay? Verse 22, but I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Clue, we are made of living stones. We're going to be made into this amazing dwelling place of God. And who's going to dwell in this temple? He is. He is. It goes on to say some beautiful things. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated. The Lamb is its light. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of the God and of the Lamb. The river of life is going to proceed from Jesus himself. He's going to dwell in our midst. We're going to dwell with him in this great living city made of living stones, this miraculous bride which he's building today. We're going to enter into that, and he's going to enter into us, and we're going to drink freely of the river of life that flows from who he is. Jesus is my next portion. Do you understand that? And God wants to give that to you, as it goes on to say in the book of Revelation, freely, freely, to be able to drink deeply of the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. Oh my, does my soul long for the day when I get to drink of him freely. Who's next? He is. It's your great next. The energy of God. He wants to reveal to you a spiritual understanding of the indescribable gift. I want to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. The next gift of Jesus is going to be so intense that you cannot receive it unless you are changed. I believe the beauty of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus, the freeness in which he's going to pour himself into you would literally consume us today if you and I were to finally, suddenly find ourselves in his presence. I believe in 1 Corinthians 15 when it says that I will be changed, that this flesh and bones cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that this corruption must put on incorruption. I believe that I must be transformed because what's coming is so beautiful, so crazy beautiful, that I can't take a breath of that atmosphere around Jesus. I cannot look upon him. I cannot receive him without being consumed by such beauty. I need to be changed just to partake of something. That's why there's no words to describe it. There's nothing that any of us have ever experienced like it. We're going to be given a supernatural body to get a supernatural experience with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's out of this world. And I'm looking forward to it. Are you? It's coming. I'm not only just going to be changed so I live for eternity, I'm going to be changed so I can drink of the fountain of life that flows from Jesus himself. But you can't experience that if you haven't been transformed. In this great revelation of Jesus Christ, it tells us that in Revelation 21, in verse 6, it says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." Because again, what are we going to be changed? We're going to be those who are transformed and we're drinking of Jesus. Amen. It's going to be all about that third great gift of Jesus Christ. And then it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And then it says, "But the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable, and the murderers, and the sexually immoral, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I thought about a quote from C.S. Lewis this week about if we were to somehow see, and it's a quote that starts with, "There are no mere humans. There are no ordinary people," he says. If you were able to see right now what you were going to look like in your glorified body, you'd be tempted to fall down and worship. But if you're also able right now to see what people look like who are going to inherit eternal hell, it would cause you nightmares. You see, not only are you potentially going to receive a body that will enable you to drink of the heavenly gift of Jesus Christ, but if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, if you have not surrendered to him as Lord, if you haven't given your life to him, you're going to be given a glorified body. It's not going to be glorified. You're going to be given a body that cannot die. You're going to be given a body that is going to enable you to drink of the second death for all eternity and never die. A body specifically designed for eternal punishment. And you know what the worst part of hell is going to be? It's not even all the stuff that we talk about, you know, and the gnashing of teeth and the weeping and the darkness and the agony. The worst part of hell is in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. I need to read this to you because it's the greatest grief in the heart of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Those that have rejected, who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 8, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Again, given that body that cannot die. But here's the greatest heartbreaking thing, is they will be separated. They will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The greatest gift that we can be given is what? It's Jesus. The Christmas spirit, the Messiah given. The gift of God to you is his own son. And every single person that denies him as Lord, every single one, when they die, they're going to come in the presence of Jesus. And the scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him as Lord. And the worst part of hell is I believe that every individual is not only going to confess him as Lord, but for the first time their eyes will see what their soul was made for. They're going to see this being, this Jesus that I have never surrendered my life to, this Jesus that I rejected, the Jesus that I scorned, the one I walked away from. He's the very one I was meant to drink of for all eternity. The worst part of hell is not just the punishment, but to know that the Jesus that they were meant for was right there, and they turned their back, and for all eternity, they're going to know I was meant for that. And we talk about thirst that's never quenched. I think the dying part of that, the death part of that, the most wicked, dry part of that, is they're going to know that right in front of them was a fountain of life, and they turned their back on it during this brief window they had here on earth. And they set their course for eternity, separated from the one who's the fountain of life. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you publicly confessed him as Lord? Have you surrendered your will to him and said, Jesus, my life belongs to you because you bought me with your blood? The Christmas story is the story of a gift of amazing grace. Amazing grace. I do want to take a minute. There's some theology out there that's misunderstood. In the Reformation, they said that it's solo gratia or gratia, meaning through by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, right? That's all true if you understand it correctly. But it got watered down and messed up over the years to say that the only act of grace that you need to receive or be concerned with is Christ crucified. I want to tell you today, that's not true. If you have rejected Jesus Christ as your own Lord, you will not surrender your life to him, and you're claiming that a belief in what he did 2,000 years ago on the cross is going to get you saved when you are willfully living your own life. You're rejecting the current gift of Jesus Christ to come in and be your Lord. I say that because I live in a culture where there are many believers in Christ who have not surrendered to him as Lord. Many. And you're rejecting the second grace of God. And you will not participate in the third grace of God when he gives Jesus freely to all those who have received him as their Lord and Savior. So many people follow Jesus around wanting stuff from him, believing in his power to heal, but they didn't want to surrender their life. And that's why he kept turning to them and saying, unless you surrender all, unless you forsake all, unless you count the cost and follow me, he said, you cannot be my disciples. I'm here to tell you today that the second grace that's so amazing is Jesus will come into you. He will dwell in you, and he will make you and prepare you and get you ready for the day when he's going to pour himself into you. In that third great grace. But if you reject that, if you do not obey, because that's where it talks about obeying the gospel, obedience to the gospel is not rules, it's surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord. When you reject him as Lord, you reject his gift on the cross. Every knee shall what? Bow. And every tongue will confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God. I want to ask you today, have you done that? Because if you haven't, with the heart one believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. If you haven't done that, today can be the day that you receive the gift of Jesus Christ. And there's so much more coming. Father God, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that not a single soul would leave this place that still needs to surrender to you. And God, I know there's people here. I know there's people who have willfully said, no, I'm not going to confess that thing. I'm not going to do that thing. I'm going to do my thing. And oh God, I pray that you would put before them that they shall have their part. They shall have the part that they want. And that part is separated from you for all eternity. Oh God, I pray today that you would wake their heart up to what they were made for today. They would count the cost. They would come running to Jesus and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm giving myself to you because I need you. I need to receive the crazy, beautiful gift of Jesus Christ. And I'm surrendering my will and my life to you. God, I pray you would bring people to that today. That the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, I know it's your energy. I know it's your desire to give the gift of Jesus Christ today. And the gift of Jesus Christ tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus, that we as Christians have such hope. There's so much more coming. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you for Jesus. Do your work today. Draw people out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Amazing is the grace of God. And we thank you, Father, for that grace. Amazing grace. What is grace? Summary word. It's the gift of Jesus. Amen? Christ crucified. What is that? Say it. Amazing grace. Now I'm going to help you again. Christ crucified. What is that? Amen. Christ in a manger is what? It's amazing grace. Emmanuel, God with man, is amazing grace. And then the day that you surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, when he came to dwell in this earthy vessel, this tabernacle, but it's, I'm so clay. But that's what? Amazing grace. And you know what he's got coming for you? He's going to give you the miracle of his son, in such a way that, oh my goodness, you're going to drink of the fountain of life that flows from him freely. You're going to drink of Jesus for all eternity. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to enable you. He's going to transform you so that you can do it. Crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. Amazing grace. You cannot utter that. You cannot speak it, but it's coming. Amen? It's coming. And it's Jesus. I'm going to guarantee you it's Jesus. So don't reject him today. He's offering you the greatest gift that God can offer you is Jesus. So I want us to sing this song. You know, this song is kind of wrapped around the cross, but please hear this. He's here today to offer you himself. Amazing grace. And if you need to respond to that today, don't wait. Run to him. Come forward. I will pray with you, and you can make the day, this day, the day in which you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. I will meet you right here. We'll pray, and God will lead you into his kingdom, and you can receive the truth. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, he's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for me and kept by the power of God through faith. I'm ready for that salvation that's going to be apocalypto revealed in the last time. In this I greatly rejoice, though now for a little time I get these trials. Oh, that the genuineness of my faith is getting tested. Oh, but I'm telling you, of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say this, whom having not seen, I love. Though now, even though I don't see him, yet believing, I rejoice with joy inexpressible. Words cannot speak what you have to know. Words cannot speak what you have to get. You have to understand by the Spirit, joy inexpressible and full of glory, the hope of God. He wants to speak to you with his Spirit and rise you up so that when you walk into your world, people are saying, hey, why do you have such joy? Why do you have such hope? Anybody stop you this week and ask you that? They should. Every Christian should just exude that, because the Spirit of God has told you what's next. Amen? The Christmas Spirit of God is the joy of God, because He's prepared something just for you. God bless you.